Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. It's Anissa.
And it's Ellen.
And it's Anissa and Ellen
Raw. This podcast is not about Anissa and I coming on here and talking about, oh, woe is me, and this is my life, and this is what we did last week, and this is what I ate. And we talk a lot about things from our perspectives, but there are topics and things that we hope will speak to women of our age going through the same things. We're not here to give advice. This podcast is to bring other people and their perspective and their stories and their expertise to everybody out there.
Everybody has a story to tell. We're all storytellers, but being able to show up in your truth without being judged
exactly
is what we're about.
Hey, everybody, this is Ellen.
And this is Anissa.
And what is this?
It's Anissa and Ellen Raw.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm in a fog, but yes, I'm good.
Tell everybody why you're in a fog.
So my oldest daughter, it's a really good thing. She, but it's, you know, it's always hard. So she's moving to Colorado on Friday.
And so
she has a great opportunity for her. She's going to have a fellowship at the University of Colorado Hospital. But today was the last day that I will see her before she goes. So,
and I got to see her. I completely forgot that I met her at the gym with Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
They were taking an alpha.
Class. It was like an event.
Yeah. JR and
was it Empower? Did they have Empower there?
I don't think it was Empower. I think it was something else. But anyway, they both came in and. And then I couldn't remember whose boyfriend, but I think it was Alistair.
Well, all I had to do was say tattoos and I don't even know what they're called, the gauges.
Yeah.
And Cassandra goes, yeah, that's not my
That's Jesse's boyfriend.
Yes.
So we're excited. I mean, oh my gosh, we've got so many giggly girls in here.
So good.
I know. And they're all millennials. So today's podcast is about millennials and being authentic and real in this day and age, right?
And when Ellen and I first started talking about it, the reason why is because we were talking about, as we were observing y'all, because we do that, how different how different your perspectives must be because you are being raised at a time. Well, one of the things is you have access to the whole world. We didn't. Right. You would see maybe what was on the news at night and whether or not that was only what they chose to show you. Right. You now have people doing YouTube or all these other things. So you actually get to see what's actually happening. You have access to the world at your fingertips. I mean, it's just different. And so I'm super just curious to know what. And just to compare, it's, you know, it's a science experiment. I'm just super curious to hear all of y'all's perspectives.
Yeah, and I'm sure that if you knew what Anissa and I talked about on a daily basis at any time during the day, you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, we had a long thread today going.
Yeah, we did.
Chatting back and forth.
I mean, so this morning I taught a cycle class and I played... Oh, gosh, I can't even... Oh, I played Sugar Sugar by the Archies. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Erica was in there. I was like, please tell me somebody else knows this song but me. I think there's one other lady who's like my age. And Herlene's like staring at me.
You didn't have no old folks? Why did you not have old folks this morning?
I did have some. Okay. Not old folks. So let's introduce everybody and then we can start asking some questions because we want to hear their voices.
Yep.
So tell me who's on your right.
Susan is right here.
Hey, Susan, tell us about yourself a little bit.
Well, I am from Mexico City, but... been here since I was 9 years old. I'm 33, so this is home now. The apparel kids design manager at Mud Pie and co-owner of Boxwood Event Rentals with my husband.
Oh, that's very cool. And then who's to your left?
That's Erica, yo.
That is Erica.
Hey, I'm Erica. I am a Georgia Tech alumna. I studied material science and engineering. I do all sorts of nerdy things.
She is a nerd.
Yeah. I'm a student pilot, and I dabble in a lot of really, really
And I
things.
Hooked her and her boyfriend up.
Oh, no joke. Okay.
So Ben is a PT at the gym, and he was like, he literally saw her in a class, and he was like, who is she? He DM'd me, and I'm like, that's Erica. Y'all should hook up. So I'm patting myself on the back for that one. And he's precious. So, yeah. And so Erica's been taking my classes for a while. He's going to die when he hears that on the... I know. So next to Erica is...
Emily. So, Emily, tell us about yourself.
All right. I am 30. I've been in marketing the past 7 years, originally from Quebec, Canada. Mm-hmm. I have two little kids, a five-year-old son and a three-year-old daughter. I ran track and cross country in college, and my kids are mostly my world, that and work.
Yeah. So I met Emily at Arby's. We've known each other for a long time, probably about 7 years.
Yeah.
So she's one of my girls. I love her so much. And this next one is one of my girls. Oh, my gosh. Here she goes.
I love her so much.
I know.
I do. I like think. I'm seriously. I always think about you. I'm like, you are so well put together. And I always think, gosh, I wish that I would have had half the confidence that you have when I was your age.
You're going to make me cry because I don't feel like that every day.
Really? Oh, my. Like, you seriously, you would never guess. I always think, man, if I was like Herlene when I was.
No, I'm literally about to cry.
She is.
If I was like Herlene when I was Herlene's age,
I
would be so accomplished at my age. Not that I'm like feel like I'm super lacking, but I just think about all of the things that I maybe wouldn't have assumed that I couldn't do it if I would have had your spunk.
Wow, thank you. So everyone, a lot for me. Thank you, Anissa. I appreciate those words because I don't always feel that way. But I'm Herlene. I am 27 years old. I'm originally from the Sunshine State, South Florida. Mm-hmm. And by day, I'm an event planner. And my passion.
Oh, Lord, what are you going to say by night?
I totally want her to say that because I want to know, what does Herlene do at night?
Don't worry, Herlene.
By night. I'm joking. No, I was going to say, by day, I'm a corporate event planner, but my passion, what I feel like my purpose in life is, I call myself a gatherer, a community community person. I love to bring people together and connect people. So,
see, this is why I wanted you guys to meet Corey.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Y'all are like.
So, Herlene works with us at Inspire. She and Anissa are on the same team. Let me tell something about Herlene that she hates for me to say. This girl attracts men. Oh, like, I'm not even kidding.
But single, Ellen.
It doesn't matter. We will be working an event and she will get like dudes like talking to her, asking her for her information, contact. She doesn't do anything to like solicit it. It's something about her personality. It's something about her.
It's her pheromones, man.
There's something about her. I'm lying. Yes. It is remarkable.
She's so funny.
For me to say that.
No, it's funny.
Remarkable.
It was this one situation. You would let me live it up, Ellen.
It's more than that. It's also more than that. And it's so good to watch. It's fun. It's like, oh, wow.
Also, it's never the guy that you want.
That's true, right? That's another whole story.
It's never the guy you want.
Yeah. All right. So to my left is Jesse. And Jesse's actually been on our podcast before. She was on the Girls Just Want to Have Fun Part 1 and Part 2. So Jesse.
That's right. So I'm Jesse. I work with Susan. Susan is my manager at MudPie. We actually both went to SCAD different times. We didn't know each other back then, but we both went to SCAD. And I'm also a group fitness instructor with at the same place that my mom and Ellen work at Lifetime. And
she's a meditator, yo.
Yes. Listen.
Whatever.
I'm a meditator now.
She is.
Yeah, I just got charged my
$100
a year for Headspace. And I was like,
You have to tell me.
It.
No, that's your gift for your birthday.
Is
so,
it?
Yeah.
It's every $100
year.
Sweet. Dang.
I know. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, every year, that's what, every time you want to renew it, you just tell me.
And I mean, I'm still using it. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who's next to you, Jesse?
Yay.
So my name's Nicole, Jesse's younger sister, right in the middle, stereotypical middle child. There you go. Always needing attention any way they could possibly get it. Sometimes to my own destructive tendencies, but for the most part, it's usually pretty positive. Anissa's my mom. So I'm also kind of crazy and excitable and positive.
Yes.
I wish I had more of her introspective tendencies. She's very good with stuff like that, analyzing things. I'm a social media marketing intern, but also kind of in a state of transition where I'm trying to discover what I want to do as a career. So we'll see how that pans out. I love to rock climb, so I feel like that's something I'm holding on to pretty tightly right now. I do a lot of outdoor climbing, so being able to like connect with nature and kind of, you know, push my own limits is something that's inspiring and exciting for me.
Yep.
Oh, that's also a cat mom. There you go. That's really what it is.
I love it. And because she was an English major, both of her, which I love that because I was too, both of her cats are from Shakespeare.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Othello, I love that.
Othello and Iago.
So Othello from the play Othello. Uh-huh. And then Iago's the villain in that play. Right. Not the parrot from Aladdin. Okay.
The villain. You're like, say. No, not Disney, Shakespeare. Get it right.
I mean, it could be. I mean, if a little kid comes to me, I'd be like, yeah, it's the parent. Doesn't make sense because it's cat. Cats.
You don't
want to
break any hearts, right? All right, so let's get started. So we've got all of these wonderful, strong women here. So Anissa and I are just going to ask some questions about just living. You know, I mean, it could be living in Atlanta, but just living in your space, in your authenticity and your rawness and your realness in today's world with social media. And
let's start there.
Yeah, let's start there.
That is one of the things that always... we wonder because we did not grow up with fake perfection, because that's what fuck the filter is all about, is the fake perfection of everybody that they put out there. How do you grow up with a sense of self when you are constantly being slammed in your face? Why don't you look like me? Who wants to answer that? How does that affect how you feel about yourself? Does it? Do you think it's bullshit? Have you struggled with self-esteem because of what you see? Whoever wants to take it.
Do you feel compelled to post on social media for certain things? I mean, I know Emily does her kids a lot, and we love it because they're adorable. So I know that a lot of times social media, like Instagram, Facebook, is meant to share with families and stuff. But, you know, for all of us who are going to the gym and working out and... I don't know. I don't know how I know how Anissa and I feel about it. I mean, we're in a totally different space. So I'm going to, let's let Susan. Jesse, you go ahead. I think I kind of know, but Jesse was last time. She was like, fuck everybody on social media.
So I think right now, honestly, my biggest struggle with social media is like just today I was doing this. You know, I am big into fitness and I put a lot of effort into it. And because of that, I want to see certain results. Even though I know this shouldn't be my primary focus with my exercise, and it's not necessarily, but you know, I want to look a certain way because of all the effort that I put in. And, you know, I found myself today scrolling and scrolling and looking at all these pictures of these chicks who are just fucking jacked. Like they have these like gorgeous tummies and these nice big muscular legs and butt, and I'm like sitting there thinking like, what am I doing wrong to where I don't look like that? And I shouldn't be doing that. Like, I'm on my own path, I'm on my own journey, I'm my own person, and I shouldn't be comparing myself to all these other people who exist, because it's not going to do me any good, you know. It's And I'm perfectly fucking fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with the way I look. I'm actually really psyched about the way that I look and the strength that I have and everything. But it just, if you let yourself go down this rabbit hole of looking and comparing, you can get stuck there.
And it's so easy. I mean, I do it without even meaning to. So I'll ask Susan. I mentioned Susan. So, Susan, what do you think?
I struggle with social media a lot. And it's now shifting because... before, social media was, okay, you waste some time on it, you see some things. We are in creative careers, so sometimes I do have to go on Instagram to look at other brands, what kids are wearing, what this or that, because we design kids' clothing, so it's part of kind of our, like, research. But then, again, you go down the rabbit hole about either nutrition, body image. Also, you know, I'm Hispanic, and so there's even a bigger gap and that, like, it's hard for me because I've been here for so long that I'm not super Mexican. I'm very Americanized in my thoughts, the way I live, everything. So there's that gap also there that's kind of hard for me to shift. So it's always like I can never be white enough, and I'm not Mexican enough. I'm in the middle ground. So that kind of adds another layer to everything in social media. But because I've started a business in the past year, now I'm dealing with social media in another realm. Now it's not posting about my life, my likes, my this, what I'm doing. Now it's trying to lift a business, and social media is so important for a business to take off. Is. Like, now you have to like introduce yourself to the world, and you want the followers now. And so now you're like trying to attract all these people to like your page, to comment, to this. And now it's becoming like, so now I have to like step back sometimes and say, okay, I'm only going to post for business this times of the day. And that's when I'm going to go into social media. Other than that, I'm out. So now I'm having to like channel my time through my personal page. And then now my business page.
Right. Yep.
And we even just the people that I follow on both pages, it's weird because it's like, sometimes it's a completely different world. It's totally event planners and venues and all these creative people that are creating things and this. And then all of a sudden it's pop culture and Britney Spears. And, you know, so it's very challenging. I think it's a lot of information at the end of the day. Sometimes feels overwhelming.
So what about you, Herlene? So Herlene is African-American. And so tell us, I don't even know, do you have an Instagram page that you don't even invite me to be on?
I do have an Instagram page that I don't invite anyone to be on. No, social media is interesting. I think, I mean, we share in the same sentiments. I think that, like, for me, it's constantly feeling like I'm not enough. And every single time I can count, I read a quote one time that said, you can almost never go on social media and leave it feeling as if you don't need to do something extra. Like, I don't have enough clothes. I don't have enough shoes. Oh, my laptop case isn't, you know, nice enough, isn't pretty enough. My hair isn't long enough. My hair isn't curly enough. You know, oh my God, my hair is so dry. My skin, it doesn't glow enough. You know, you never leave social media without feeling you need to go and change something about yourself or the things that you have and own. So, it's a struggle. I mean, yeah, it's hard. It's hard. Many times I'm like, I'm going to delete my Instagram. I can't do this anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So Emily is the only one of us that has children. And I know you post a lot about your kid, of your kids, which I think is awesome. You know, I have little bits, goddaughters that I try not to post too much on my public. I've got two Instagram accounts, personal and private, and the personal I set up a long time ago just for my family because I have a lot of nieces and nephews that were on it, and it was like an easy way for us to just see what everybody was doing. I would never post anybody's children on my public page without their permission or consent. So Emily's got two little ones. So Emily, I mean, your viewpoint might be just totally different, you know? I mean, but you also in the marketing realm.
I think so when a lot of social media, obviously Facebook was like the first one. I was at the end of high school getting into college. And at that point you had to have like a university email to be able to make a Facebook. So it was very new. And once we had that, it was really all about acceptance and getting like as many friends, whether you knew them or not. So I think that was just like a very new space because before that it really was who you were around and who you knew. And then with Instagram, it was just pictures and liking and having good pictures. And I think through the different phases of life, I mean, even like through pregnancy and then you see, I mean, I was very much into fitness and I ran in college and that was, you know, everybody's constantly judging and looking at their bodies. So through social media and having like fitness pages that I was following and stuff like that, all of a sudden you're just comparing. And then through pregnancy, you're going through this whole like body change and you're just like, I need to unfollow these people because they're making me feel bad about myself. And all of a sudden you're like ruining a beautiful experience because you're not this like really cute pregnant little girl. You're just like going through this whole change where you're just like, who am I? What is this? This is totally different. And then once I had my kids, it was just like, that was my world. And then when my son was three and my daughter was one, my ex and I separated. And so really like my entire focus, like 100% was my kids and work, because for me, that was, if I focus my energy there, that got me through like day to day and just like got me through everything. And so posting was kind of like my validation that I was happy and that they were happy and that everything was good. And also through like Facebook, like my family, my extended family's all, they don't live close here. Most of them are all in Canada. So for them, it was also like, they're seeing that as validation that I'm okay. So I think that's like a lot of it. Like, again, like if you look at the past, like 2-3 years, like there's very few pictures of me. And if it is, it's with my kids, which I don't see that as a bad thing for me. That's like what my world represents. But I think part of it is also like, that's what I've focused on because that's easiest for me. So I think social media is hard because especially at night when my kids are asleep, you go through and you see like everyone's happy and perfect and going through their, you know, new phases of like engagements and babies and, you know, all these great things. And like part of it is like I focus on everyone else is happy and hope that that's like sufficient and that's good enough. And you see that and you think that. But it's just hard because, again, like you see people that post that are like, oh, you know, you only post your happy moments on there. But then at the same time, you're like, well, you post every day. So are you always happy? Or, yeah. Like, is it just me? And so you're just like trying to focus on great things. Notice, though,
people will save pictures and post them when they're not even doing what they're doing.
Yes. Yeah, and like you were totally. You went to that event like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Exactly. But so I don't know. It's hard. And especially through like trying to get into like dating, which is horrible. And then you see like all these people just going through their motions of life and just everything in life. It just, it's hard not to get wrapped up in it and get wrapped up in like, what am I doing wrong? Or why am I not at that point and comparisons? Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to get down on yourself and trying to, I mean, I've unfollowed so many accounts, even if it's like fitness stuff. I'm like, if that's not motivating me and that's like discouraging me, then I don't need that in my life.
Yeah.
But it's easy to get into those like rock bottom moments too.
So what about you, Erica?
I kind of have a weird, I guess, approach to social media. Like, again, like what was already said, when Facebook was kind of starting, you had to have like a university account. And so I kind of started, I got a Facebook like freshman year of college, but I didn't do anything with it. And then, you know, it kind of just grew into more than just like your local community around your university. And everybody kind of started adding each other as friends. And it got really annoying and almost like too cluttered. And I got not overwhelmed, but I was just kind of like, there's no value. And I catch myself just kind of scrolling endlessly for hours. And you lose productivity, but also like you don't leave gaining anything from it. You're just like, okay, well, either you got really annoyed at whatever everybody else was posting, or you're just like, oh, well, I literally did nothing for the past 2 hours. And you kind of sometimes go down rabbit holes of like stalking people, or you're like, oh my gosh, that was a really cute like engagement photo shoot. Oh my gosh, I love her wedding photos. But then you notice yourself judging, and then you're like, oh, well, I wouldn't have worn that. Or, ooh, why did she do that? Or that's not really cute. And then it's just, it wasn't anything that's like pot. Like I can be kind of like opinionated, but I don't like being like a negative, judgmental, like, because I'm not, you know, the end all be all of opinions. My opinion's only like my opinion. And so, you know, who am I to think why she should have done or worn or said or whatever, something else. So I kind of, I deleted my Facebook and I have Instagram. I don't really post on my feed. I've only recently started doing stories for a totally random,
and she
different
is
tangential.
A rock star on her stories.
Thanks.
Like I was like, Erica was never
ever
posting. And then all of a sudden I'm like, where the hell did all of this come from? And they're beautiful.
Bam.
Her posts, her Instagram stories are beautiful.
Oh, awesome. I'll have to look.
I mean, like,
yes.
So like, it kind of, that kind of actually goes into, so one of the things that I do at work is I do what is called programmatic like advertising, in the sense of, in, and it's kind of not like the pretty picture advertising that everybody thinks. It's kind of more, you're thinking of cheese and then cheese pops up as an advertisement on your Facebook. mm-hmm. like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that shit that I hate.
We talk about it. Yeah. We talk about it all the time.
It's so like true. Artificial yeah. intelligence, you know, human wow. data interaction.
Your
machine
phone
learning.
Is listening to you.
No, phone, my Google Home. I everything. Oh my gosh. I was talking about I need new light bulbs and yep. the TV advertisement was light right. bulbs.
Siri, yeah. Cortana, everything. Oh, Alexa, I hope there isn't one around because that would be bad. Okay. We're not ordering anything. It's fine. And so all of that stuff is listening. And they're taking, you know, this, it's not random that when you get in your car, it tells you that it's going to take you 45 minutes to get to work. So everything is very, very tightly programmed. And that kind of data, it's kind of weird. I harness that kind of data. And
so crazy.
Yeah. And so programmatic advertising is something that I've actually recently started getting into for work. And so I kind
does
of
that scare the shit.
My mouth
out
is
of
on
you?
The floor. Crazy. My mouth is on the floor. Even yeah. when you put your Siri to like you turn it off, it can still hear you.
There are different levels of Siri listening. To turn off, and I'm just telling you, they
brother, they I will show you. Is real.
They literally what? Hide it so that it makes it so difficult and so like annoying to turn off. That I mean, it's literally listening to you, and it's.
Her
I literally, I disabled.
The fuck out.
I disabled the microphone on my computer because it's so creepy.
I make jokes with my friends all the time because oh I have the Google Home.
Yeah,
and I'm always like, "Hey Google, good morning," and then I have a whole good morning routine. It'll like set a 45 minute timer to get ready, yep. and I always joke with my friends. I'm like, "It's too late now. She's already in my house.
Yes, she
she's
is.
Listening yep. to everything I'm saying."
Yeah,
and Holy, what do you think?
It's really terrifying.
I guess when it comes to like. Social media. So right now I'm a social media marketing intern. So yeah. I have like a work relationship with it right now. And then I would say I have like a personal self-image relationship with it. And then I have more of like a media consumption relationship with it. I want to focus on the positive one first because that one makes me happy. So something about social media that I think is super empowering is you can kind of explore new things that you wouldn't have otherwise, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to, and yes, we have a long ways to go with representation of different bodies, of different skin colors, of different ethnicities. Like, we have a long way to go. But then, you know, when I see people like Lizzo, who like, I fucking love Lizzo, and I see her and I get so excited watching stuff like that. Or I have friends who are in the drag community and I get to see their drag performances. Or, you know, a girlfriend who lives out in California who goes to college there and she's doing, you know, she posts her Instagram live story of her basically doing a like a comedy stand-up house, which there are very few, like, you know, female comedians. And, you know, we got one here in the house tonight, which yes. is epic, and she's fucking amazing. You know, my friend out in the West Coast is representing as well. And so it's fun. And she's, you know, part of the LGBTQ community. So it's really, you know, it can be really empowering sometimes, but you have to be very careful about what media you decide to digest and what media you decide to take in. So that's my positive side of it. And I feel like the negative side of it personally comes from when I see pictures of myself that other people may post. And, you know, people, when they see you, like all the thoughts, that inner dialogue, that like inner saboteur that you have that says like, oh, they can see the pimple on my face, or oh, in this picture, oh my God, look how gross my skin looks, or oh my God, like I look like I'm 20 pounds heavier than I actually am. Like, so my journey with social media really started to take, like, because I didn't really care about it before. I didn't do a whole lot. Was when I saw a picture of my boyfriend and I at his sister's wedding. And I couldn't believe, I was like, oh my God, I look fucking huge in that picture. And I went into this really awful spiral of like, I'm going to do the military diet. I'm going to have 2 hard-boiled eggs in the morning. I'm going to have a banana, and then I'm going to have a salad for dinner. Literally fucking, like, starving myself. Like, that's, like, that's just, like, you can't live off of less than 1,300 calories a day. That's stupid. Don't do it. It's not good for you. I did lose weight that way.
We, so absolutely,
don't need to promote
will.
It. But it lost 30 pounds, so it was at
hard
150.
Hard to sustain, though.
And I lost 30 pounds. And the psychological thing that happens is that I would weigh myself like 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times a day and get on the scale and like measure myself. And it was so neurotic. And it took like basically, you know, people in my life being like, does not fucking matter what you look like in pictures. It does not matter what you look like now, as long as you're treating your body with like the respect it deserves. And so guess what? If you're 150 pounds, but you're eating the right things, or you're just, you're loving yourself. And if you're loving yourself, you're treating your body right. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, if you are not loving yourself right now, you're not treating your body right. So definitely like personal pictures and things like that were something that were super negative for me in social media. And I had to stop analyzing it like that and had to start instead just like point out one thing that you love about yourself. If that's a tooth, if you like your tooth in that picture, you say, I fucking love my tooth. Look at that cute little tooth cup. Like you just that one little thing. And yeah. Block out everything else. And eventually you'll find more things that you like about yourself. So I think like with social media, a lot of people do see that one thing. And that one negative thing overpowers every positive thing in that photo. It doesn't matter how many amazing comments you get. Oh, you look gorgeous. Oh, you're a perfect couple. Oh, blah, blah, blah. That one thing that you see will stick out. So you just got to like tell that voice in your head to like fuck off and leave you alone.
Yeah.
Because it's not true. It's a liar. And then I have my social media marketing internship. I don't think marketing is really for me. People are sad online. They're the worst. When they're commenting, especially in e-commerce, people are just like, we live in an Amazon world where everything is one click away. You're going to receive it in like 2 minutes and it's going to be there. And I just can't deal with the impatience of it all. It's too much. And I like communicating with people on a face-to-face level, similar to you. I get my energy from being with people and being with people who excite me and people who exude like positive energy and even sometimes negative energy, because it's interesting to maybe you can offer something to them, or they might be able to offer a new perspective or a new insight into something. So being around community, and I think social media marketing for me has been a little bit too much of like a closed off world where I'm just staring at a computer screen in the abyss of e-commerce.
So yeah, I think that's interesting that a few of you have brought up community, and yeah. I think so. This is a new word. So when Ellen and I were growing up, we didn't. You had your friends, right? Your BFFs right. or whatever. You might have your five group of friends, or maybe you had 100, or maybe you just had one good girlfriend. We did not use the word community unless we were talking about the damn swimming pool in the neighborhood.
Exactly. I mean, the community.
There was
pool.
Just no such thing. And so I hear this over and over again. And now we all have these labels for different right. communities and other things. So I just wonder, or maybe Ellen, you can even pose a really good question around community, but just something around the importance of how that evolves in terms of how you feel about yourself and your authentic nature.
Yeah. I mean, just, and we have our number one community obviously is the gym. I mean, we call that our community. We call that our fit family, our community. Work as well. But like in terms of like personal, I don't think I really have one other than that's my family. I mean, I have friends, but I've never had like a crew or a gang of girls that I hung out with, like five or six, like one or two, but I hung out with my family a lot. But I feel like nowadays, like especially what I hear from some of my friends who are millennials, or even what you see posted, like your friends or people that I follow from work, it's constantly, they've got these groups of friends in their community, and you see it all the time. So it's a lot different,
totally
I think.
Totally different.
So how does that manage with like your, look at Erica, like with your friendships and your family? And
so I kind of have a very interesting, everything's interesting, but so I, like growing up, I never had friends that were my age. I was only child syndrome, badass single mom. And so I didn't comprehend that like my mom's friends weren't my friends too. So I would go to, you know, what a wedding or a work event, or we'd go to like dinner or something. And I wouldn't understand that like I wasn't supposed to be like part of the conversation, because I'm like, well, I'm right here. I mean, you were looking in my general direction. Okay, fine. But I don't know. I guess I've always been like a very introspective but also kind of like mental thinker, and the kids that I was growing up with and like went to school with just weren't. And so at various points, I'm sure the teachers had a lot of concerns of my social skills and like, oh my gosh, she's not friends with like 17 of her classmates. And I kind of just like was my own person and I didn't give a shit. And so that's why my mom got called into a bunch of parent teacher conferences. And I swore I was stupid because I was like, well, their parents aren't being called into parent teacher conferences, but mine is. Okay, guess I'm dumb. And it turns out that like on my report cards, which I never saw, was Erica has I don't care attitude. My mom's like,
what?
That seems like not a bad thing. But and she showed it was funny. She showed it to my grandma once or, you know, like just like, well, she's got good grades. And my grandma's like, so she talks a lot and she has an I don't care attitude. Sounds fine to me. Worry the day she stops talking and worry the day that she starts caring about what other people think. And I know that growing up, my grandma always told me, she's like, if people are talking about you, whether it be to your face or behind your back, good. That means they find value in you and their insecurities are not your problems. And so that was like my childhood. And I was like, I never had like girlfriends mm-hmm. or like I had like my dance friends or, you know, like girls that I was on the soccer team with or girls that. Yeah, I really didn't. Didn't have like tight knit friends ish until like college. And even after then, it was just kind of like, I was like, okay, cool. I'm by myself. But like, I didn't have right. a void to fill.
Right.
And then so weirdly enough, the reason why I'm more active on social media is beauty of social media is that you can monetize it. And so with that came a very unexpected group of like, believe it or not, like 400 women. Nobody says anything bad about each other. Everybody literally encourages everybody. And I was like, is this real life? Like, yeah. Is that even possible? Mm-hmm. And through that, actually, because of that community and like things that I was seeing other girls go through or things that I was seeing other girls post about, that actually helped me like do a shit ton of mind shifts. And I was like, holy shit, I had a lot of like unresolved, like mental, like not issues, but just like things that I was dwelling on. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, just unresolved, like, I guess emotional, mental points of view, perspectives on different, like various aspects of life. And just like things that various past experiences did to like your confidence or your personality mm-hmm. or your outlook, your approach, how you like comport yourself in different situations. And again, I was just an I don't give a fucking shit child.
Yeah.
And then I noticed that like whether it be friendships or like past relationships, I kind of got like I would second guess my voice and I would second guess my ability to even in the workplace speak up even though I had something that was truthful or I wouldn't say something for fear that somebody like wouldn't not approve because I didn't give a shit about that, but it was like they would take a negative action or there would be some sort of like a repercussion because of something I'd say. And so like all of that kind of I was like I didn't realize that I was silencing myself. And Ellen knows this. She posted something a while ago, very long time ago, mm-hmm. and I can't remember the exact quote. I saw it today, and it was like, I'm going to say what I want to say until somebody beats my ass, and then I'm going to say what I'm going to say with a black eye. Mm-hmm. And like that
ever
is like mm-hmm. everything. Because mm-hmm. now, you know, just looking back a year ago or looking back a year and a half ago, I would be the type of person who was like, oh my God, I don't want to say something because like, you know, maybe they won't be my friend or maybe he'll break up with me or like maybe I'll get fired. And I'm like, go ahead, replace me.
Yeah.
Seriously. See if I care. Like if you have a problem with something I'm going to say, then that means that this is not the right situation for me.
Yeah.
And so.
So let's talk to Emily for a second, just because Emily has kids. So and, you know, community can be anything. I mean, it can be your work community, your fitness community, your friends. So. Emily has two kids, and she's single. So you can't just always at the drop of a hat, decide you're going to go hang out with your friends, and you know you've got two little ones that you've got to manage. So, what is it like? Like,
where do you find community?
Yeah, where do you find your community?
I think that's where social media probably helps a little bit, just because, you know, even through stories, sometimes that's just purely like my only communication with adults, because a lot mm-hmm. of my time is either at work or with my kids. And there's a lot of interaction and even like commentary through that of like, oh, they're so funny, or oh, you can tell that they're like very loved, or oh, that's hilarious, or oh, I hate when my kid does that. There's still a sense of like conversation, even though I don't have a lot of time to like socialize. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have the kids with me most of the time. And even when I wasn't single, I just had a lot of like mom guilt over like, I should want to be with my kids all the time, because isn't that what parenthood's about?
And no. So
even though they drive me crazy. Right there. And so
mom
and,
with five kids.
And I didn't have like a ton, like I don't have a ton of friends. I never have. I've had teammates and they were great when we were at practice, but I have, you know, probably a group of like three really close friends, but one doesn't live in the same state. One is going through, you know, she's got two little girls too, and she's busy all the time. And another one is working just as much as I am and about to have a baby as well. So we interact through social media, and that's kind mm-hmm. of how we keep in touch. But for one, that does make me feel like someone's checking in on me, which is mm-hmm. probably the biggest missing token since being a single mom, because you don't have that daily, like, how are you? Or you look like you've had a real shit day. Like, talk to me. Yeah. You know, you don't have that. And everyone, once they go home, like, you're worrying about your own things. You don't have people checking in on you. And that's just different. And that's the one place where social media, whether they know you had a bad day or not, like, even them, that encouragement can get you through that day or help you feel like you're not alone, even though you've felt very alone that day. So I think part of it is great, but they're also not like, they're not always people that I'm very close with, but mm-hmm. it still feels good that like they don't have to be like your best friend for them to make you like feel like you're doing a good job.
So I'm going to take that for a second and segue. Yeah. I know Anissa was going to say something. So because I'm sitting here watching Emily, and I've known Emily for a long time. So I remember when, she and her ex, separated. So then there's that question about going out and dating and going out.
That's what I was
going
to. Going
out
and dating.
So, you know, we've got several girls who have boyfriends, and I'm assuming Jesse, you and Coley have had the same boyfriend for a while, correct?
Oh, we share one boyfriend.
Yeah, that sound? That totally sounded like, oh, like, okay, that. Yes,
well,
that's like the second. That's like the second time today where I've said something. I said it on our beekeeper. I was making fun of one of our instructors,
even,
and I said, oh my God, I can't believe you did that in that picture with that child. That's exactly what I said. And I was like, okay, wait a second. That's not what I meant. That's not.
Backtrack.
So, yeah. So I know that Jesse and Coley each have their own boyfriends. Erica does. I don't think Emily's been dating. I think I check in with Emily some. I know Herlene is trying to find a man.
Okay.
And what
thank
about Susan? And Susan
I'm
is 100.
And Susan's married. Oh, okay.
So let's talk just a little bit. So we'll put Susan over here for a second since she's like with us, married. Look at Herlene looking at me. So let's just talk about this dating thing. And since you guys have had boyfriends for a while, I'm fascinated, y'all. That's because, you know, I've been married for like 1,000 years.
Literally
again,
1,000.
Social media plays into mm-hmm. it. Lots of people meet each other through whatever that stuff. I mean, my
DMs.
Oldest daughter, they met on Match. She and her husband, or actually the dogs got them together, but whatever. But
that's
just
weird.
I know.
That's why most men get dogs.
Yes. Sometimes.
That's from normally what? Their picture on any dating site is with a
meet woman.
Wow.
Like what? So for
spoiler alert
for us more, because how old were you when you got married?
I was 21.
Okay. And see, when I got married the first time I was 20. So you have to understand that it was so different when we were growing up. Like there was an expectation mm-hmm. that you would, as a woman, you would go to college. And then after that, the next step was, you know, you might find a career mm-hmm. or whatever, but it was never find a career, become your own person. Then maybe you get married. Then maybe you have kids, or even there was not even the thought form that that was not the path that you would take. Right. And then there were some outliers, right? There were some people who didn't, but so I'm fascinated by this whole dating and your ideas of where marriage falls into that. And if you even want to, or I don't know. It's just interesting.
So let's just start with Harleen because she's just busting at the seams.
No, I'm not.
No, and I need to hear this. I need to hear this.
Stay tuned for Millennials Part 2.